Well, it's come to preaching time, and I want to give the preacher plenty of time to get up and get airborne and then come back down. Brother Scott Polly is a wonderful, wonderful blessing to our church. He is a good friend to me, but also to our church and to pastors around. He's the other reason I didn't run up and down the aisles. He goes around a lot of places. I don't want him to tell stories about me, especially those that might be true. I would hate to embarrass myself, but he's a great blessing. And to those of you who don't know, when our church was looking for a pastor, Brother Polly was the one that had put my name in. And so I told him, if things go well, he's going to be the hero of Buffalo Ridge. And I did hear a little bit of the deacons murmuring that they want to have a meeting with him. I think they wanted a refund. So I blocked that meeting. I said, no way. I don't think I'm going to have that. But he has been a great connection for our church. And I'm grateful to him personally and his wife, Tammy. So blessed, we are blessed to have her with us as well. And as I mentioned this morning, they're from the wonderful state of West Virginia. And he truly is being used of the Lord. And I'm blessed that he would take his time out to come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I'm glad that he's not anywhere else in the world today, because I believe that God orchestrated all of the things to happen today to bring the people who needed to be here and the preacher that needed to be here and the songs that needed to be sung. I believe that the Lord just had his hand in all of it. We had these officials that were over here by the work of some one particular person. I'm thankful to him. But just the Lord working in the hearts of people and getting them here. So many things that we don't have time to talk about, all the orchestration that God did to give us a wonderful day. And one major piece of that was the preacher that he brought our way. And I'm very grateful. Brother Scott, I love you. Thank you. Why don't you come preach to us? It's a joy to have you at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Thank you for coming our way.
Well, it's a joy to be here. And I love your pastor and his precious family. I'm just so grateful God has put him in this church. And, you know, the Lord has a way of connecting pastor and people. And when the Lord does that, it is a beautiful thing to watch, isn't it? And I really believe this. You have a great heritage, a great, great history of the Lord's work in this place. But I told Tammy tonight, I was just so encouraged today to see what God is doing now. Our God is a present tense God. So everybody wants to talk about the good old days. I like the good old days. I'm not sure if they were as good as we say they were. But I know this, our Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. And I believe the Lord is at work in this church at this time, and I'm praying for you that the greatest days are the days that lie ahead. And I just thank the Lord and feel such liberty today and grateful. I've already got enough stories on you, by the way, you know. And he's got some on me. I'm preaching from his Bible today. Not his sermon, but I am preaching from his Bible. I travel all the time, and We've been on the run this week, and I got here late last night and was getting the things out of the car, and I said to my wife, where's my briefcase? And we started looking around, and I left it laying on the bed at home, which means the preacher came without a Bible. What do you think of that? And I said, do you think you got a Bible that you could loan me? And he did, and I appreciate it. He had to look to find an authorized version, and I was glad he found one of those, but just giving him a hard time. I do appreciate his kindness and all of your kindness, showing the love of God to us today. We've had a great time together. Let's open the Word of God together one more time, shall we, on this Lord's Day, to the Gospel according to Matthew, to Matthew chapter number 16. Now, Matthew 16, we've discovered already, is the great church chapter. In chapter 18, our Lord will elaborate more on the authority of the local church. It is, in many ways, the supreme court of the Christian life, operating under the authority of Scripture. But in Matthew 16, our Lord first begins his discussion of the church. If you haven't marked this already in your Bible, I want you to mark Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. Jesus said, I will build my church. Aren't you glad he's still building his church? And even this very day, we've seen the Lord adding to the church daily, in the words of Scripture, such as should be saved. And I want to pause and say, thank God for that. So this is the great chapter where our Lord is explaining his church work in this world. People say, I wish Jesus was still here. He is. He lives in every believer. Somebody said, oh, yeah, but I wish he was here bodily on the earth. Do you understand that's what a body of believers is? This is the body of Christ at work in this world. The church is alive and well because the Lord is alive and well. I got to show you this. Just let me take a 90-second detour. How many of you will do that? Would you raise your hand? All right. Go with me to the last page of your Bible real quick. You can tell people he started in Matthew and ended in Revelation and preached the whole thing today. All right. Look at Revelation 22. This is the final mention of the church in Scripture. The first mention in the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 16, we're comparing Scripture with Scripture here like bookends on our New Testament. We're New Testament Christians, right? Well, look at Revelation 22, verse number 16. I, Jesus, same person, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the, what's that say in your Bible? Forgive me, kids, for using a dirty word on the weekend, but look at the grammar of the word, would you please? Would you notice, please, it's the plural now and not the singular. Why is that? Don't miss this. Our Lord Jesus Christ is building his church, and how is he doing that? Through individual local churches. I am a local church man. I believe in the local New Testament church. Sometimes I meet people that say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't like church. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. That's like saying to somebody, I love your head, but I hate your body. How many of you know that's not going to work very good? You can't disconnect the two, you see. What you think of Christ and the place Christ holds in your heart and in your home will be reflected by your relationship to what he's doing in this world, and that is done through the local New Testament church. We are a group of baptized believers who have voluntarily joined ourselves together to observe the ordinances, to worship together, to encourage one another, and to carry out the Great Commission. And if you are a true follower of Christ, you ought to be interested in what Jesus is doing in his churches. Amen to that? So with that in mind, go back to the great church chapter, Matthew chapter 16, and let me take you to the end of the chapter. Because when you come to verse number 21, there is a great turning point. I might say a great threshold of truth being crossed. In fact, you see it in this transition phrase. Look at verse 21. From that time forth. How many of you see that in your Bible? So he's just talked about the church. And then he says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. I'm going to tell you, that's a great verse. You know what that verse is? That's the gospel, people. I'm a gospel man, and you ought to be a gospel man, be a gospel woman. I love to talk about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because, look, if he hadn't gone to Jerusalem, and he hadn't suffered, and he hadn't been killed, and he hadn't been raised from the dead, we wouldn't be here today, and there would be no church. Christ died. He gave himself for the church. This is a high, holy moment. Do you understand? Jesus is beginning to explain to his early congregation these deep spiritual truths and implications. Wouldn't you think everybody would be shouting amen and saying, oh Lord, tell us more. And then you come to verse number 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Does your Bible say that Peter rebuked Jesus? Is that what your Bible says? He began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. By the way, you can't say no and Lord in the same breath. But that's what he did. You ever been in a church meeting where the Lord was really on the move? I mean, the Holy Ghost was just speaking to people and dealing with people and folks getting right with the Lord. And then somebody pokes their head up and says some fleshly critical something that just grieves the Holy Spirit. You ever been in a place like that? It's awful. Now, you preachers know what I'm talking about. There are times where it's just like, man, the Lord is in the place. And then some devil pokes their head up. That's the devil's way. Everything God ordains, Satan opposes. You never know where Satan's going to poke his nose in. He's like whack-a-mole. He just keeps showing up in places, you know. And there is this moment where you think that these men would just be still and say, now, Lord, we don't understand all this, but you're going to have to help us. And instead, Peter looks at Jesus and look in the face and rebukes the sinless Son of God and says, no. Let me just tell you, that will stop the blessing right there. And so Jesus turns, verse 23, speaks to Peter. This is strong. Get thee behind me, Satan. How'd you like Jesus to call you the devil? He literally looked Peter, who he loved, in the face. Wait a minute. Everybody remember earlier today? He was the one, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Same man. And Jesus looks at him and says, you're speaking for the devil right now. Maybe you don't know this about yourself, but let me just testify about me. I get shocked at myself sometimes. You know, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I get shocked at myself sometimes how quickly I can go from spiritual to fleshly. Now, I'm just being very transparent with you. But I can stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel. I can sit in a church service and worship God. I can give a testimony and bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And walk right out the back door and get in my car and get out on the road and get in the flesh. How many of you are with me now? Come on. And there's a moment where He speaks by the Spirit, and there's a moment now where He speaks in the flesh. And for the record, you have that same struggle in your old man and new man, this nature struggle within us. It's a war zone, people. And Jesus gives a much stronger rebuke than Peter gave to him. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Do you understand that we are listening in on one of the first church meetings? The multitude is gone now. It's not crowds of people vying for his attention. It's a little group of followers, disciples. One man is presumed to be the spokesman, but all of them need to hear what Jesus is about to say, and he really hones in on them. May I say, I'm here tonight in this passage because I know who I'm preaching to on this Lord's Day evening. And I'm glad for all the visitors that came today, and I rejoice with you and people that came to faith in Christ, and there could even be still somebody here tonight that needs to be saved. I want you to know we're going to give you that opportunity before this service is done. But by and large, I'm looking around. This is the church family. This is the heart and soul of this church. And I want you to know what Jesus is saying to these disciples. He's saying, fellas, somewhere you've got to enter into a greater spiritual understanding about what I'm up to in this world. Don't miss it now. It's not enough to be part of the crowd. It's not enough to be in the meeting. It's not enough to say you're a disciple. Now you must go a little deeper with me and understand what it means to be everything I want you to become. As I've meditated on this chapter this week, something jumped out at me. Can I just show you just a little 30,000-foot flyover? Back up to the beginning of the chapter. Look how the chapter opens. It opens with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see that? And Jesus pokes them in the eye a little bit, and he says, you fellows can read the sky and can't read the times. Look at verse 3. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas, as he left them and departed. And so he begins with a bunch of religious people. Let's start at the outside ring. Let's start at the periphery. You got a bunch of religious people who have all the form and function, all the motions and mechanics, all the trappings and traditions of religion, but they do not know God. I was happy this morning about the dear man that walked the aisle and said, as a member of this church, I believe I need to be saved. I'm glad about that. I'm not in trying to make people doubt their salvation. Matter of fact, it's not my job to give you doubt or to give you assurance. It's my job to give you the Bible, and the Holy Ghost will show you whether you're a child of God or not. But if you're not, you ought to be. And there's a whole lot of religious people in our world who are into spiritual things and talk about being a spiritual person, but they do not know the spirit of truth. And I'm going to tell you what every religious person needs. Every religious person needs Jesus. But notice what marked these people. They lacked discernment. You think we need some discernment in our day right now? Then you come down to verse number 5. You got his disciples. They came to the other side, but they had forgotten to take bread. So Jesus starts teaching, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's the pervasive influence of hypocrisy and false doctrine, which, by the way, is still working in our world. And look at verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Isn't it funny how our thoughts immediately go to the basest things? We're more concerned about bread than we are about the bread of life. We're more concerned about the physical than we are about the spiritual. And Jesus has to deal with them. Look at verse 9. Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets took ye up? Look at verse 11. How is it that ye do not understand? This is convicting to me. It wasn't just the Pharisees and Sadducees that did not understand. It was the disciples. It's easy to sit in church buildings and fuss at all the sinners out there. And I tell you one thing, this world needs Jesus and Washington needs to get straightened out and and we go right on with it. And Jesus turns to all the disciples. Would all you disciples look at me, please? All the disciples. And Jesus says to all the disciples, can I ask you a question? Do you have spiritual understanding? Maybe the reason the world doesn't have more discernment is God's people don't have enough spiritual understanding. And one of the telltale signs of it is when you come down to verse number 22, one of the key members of this first church, one of the closest followers, did not even fully grasp what Jesus was trying to say to him. Can I tell you what I'm speaking on tonight? I'm speaking on being more than a member. Now, I hope you're a member of this church. If you're not a member of this church and you're an attender of this church, you ought to be a member of this church. Somebody asked me recently, do you believe in church membership? You better believe it. Now, the way your church keeps up with, that's your business. I'm not getting into that. I'm not the pastor of this church. And it's not my job to deal with all the church polity things. But I do believe that God's people ought to join themselves to God's people. And we all need fellowship. And we all need accountability. And in a generation where people like being spectators and not participants, we need more of God's children, not just to be occasional attenders of a church. They need to be faithful members of a local New Testament church. And so, if you're not a member of a local New Testament church, you ought to be. But that's not my message. No, my message tonight is you need to pray that God will make you more than a member. The roles are filled with the names of people who are members. Church pews are filled with people who are members. Can I tell you what's sorely lacking in most churches today? People who are more than just members. How many of you know you can be present and not be present? Let me ask you a different way. How many of you ever sat through a church service and you were there, but when you were done, you really don't remember much about it because you really weren't there? Come on now, be honest. I've been there. Sometimes I was doing the preaching. That's really bad, you know. You can be present and not be where you need to be. You can be a member, even of a great church like this, a Bible preaching church like this. But I want to remind you that serving Jesus is not a group sport. It's the individual response to God. And Peter, you know what you need? Hey, disciples, you know what you need? Local church, you know what we all need? We all need to say, dear Lord, we don't want to just say we're saved. We don't want to just be content with something God did in our life years ago. We don't want to just be glad we're going to heaven someday or a part of a great church on Sunday. We want to be everything that Jesus saved us to become. So what does that look like? Now, let me show you three things Jesus addressed. Would you mark them down somewhere? Write them down because it'll help you meditate on them when we're done tonight. And let's take them in order. Start in verse 22 and verse 23. Here's the first thing Jesus dealt with. He starts by addressing what we love. Life is all about what we love, isn't it? What you love, you live for. The first great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Jesus' great warning, love not the world. Why is that? Because life is about affections, what we love, what we desire. Look at verse number 22. Peter's rebuking him. That's not true, Lord. That can't happen. And look what Jesus said in verse 23. He said, you're an offense to me, for thou, would you mark this phrase, savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. If I say something is savory, we mean by that, it has a certain taste to it, and we like that taste. Well, the word savor here really is not connected to the mouth. It's more connected to the mind. He said, this is what you're thinking, and this is what brings you pleasure, and this is what you think is right. And there's two ways of thinking. Look at it carefully. You either love the things of Christ, or you love the things of men. May I ask you, where is your affection? You know what's really tragic? It's tragic that some people get saved, they get baptized like those precious people did this morning, they join wonderful churches like this church, and then they find a way to live good, comfortable, convenient Christianity in our beloved nation, but their heart is really not passionate after Jesus. They love everything else but Christ. And I wonder, is the fire still burning in your soul? Do you love to be with Him? Do you love His word? Do you love prayer? Do you hate your own sin? Do you love what Jesus loves and hate what Jesus hates? Look, what about your love life? I'm asking you to do a deep dive here. Dig deep. Let the Lord show you you. That's painful sometimes. This book is not a microscope for you to use on somebody else. It's a mirror to use on yourself. So look in the mirror. Look at your soul. Look beneath the surface and say to the Lord, Lord, do I really love what you are loving, and do I hate what you're hating, or have I learned to savor the things that be of men? Is it possible that we could be good church members? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, pay the tithe, give offering, give to missions, teach a Sunday school class, preach a sermon, sing in the choir, but something in our soul is not exactly like it ought to be. Look at the verse carefully. Verse number 23, he shows us a few things. One of the things he shows us is that what you love is most revealed by what you say. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Even at the end of the story, Peter, your speech betrays you. Your mouth tells on your heart. Listen to yourself speak. What do you love to talk about? When you have downtime, when nobody is giving you something spiritual to think of and talk about, where does your conversation go? That'll tell you something about your affection. Why do you think the Lord says, set your affection on things above and not on things below? Because we tend to run towards the things below instead of the things above. The other day I was staying by myself in a place, long ways from home, and it was a very secluded place. I was preaching in the evenings and the day. I was by myself, and it was good for me. It was really, really good for me. Did you know preachers need time like that, secluded, alone with God, just to think, to pray, to let God search your heart? It's good for you when your phone doesn't work. Can I get a witness there? It really is. It's good when there's nothing to watch on television and there's no music playing in the background and you have to be still in the presence of a holy God. And you know, for a couple days, the Lord just worked me over. He just worked me over. The Lord brought to my mind things and dealt with me about things and led me to prayer. And do you know, I had some of the sweetest time of the Lord, just me and Jesus. Nobody out there but me and Jesus. And it was wonderful. And it reminded me of something. You know what God's people need every now and then? Every now and then, you need a good heart cleansing and a thorough time of confession of sin and real humble repentance before Almighty God. This isn't just good for sinners. This is good for the saints too. Look at the verse again. Not only are these affections revealed by how you speak, but they are a satanic distraction. If I said to you tonight, anybody want to follow the devil's way this week? Somebody said, preacher, no. This is a Sunday night crowd. We want the Lord's way. Well, hold on to your seat. Your way is just another way of saying the devil's way. So when we choose something we want that God didn't want for us, when we fall in love with something and give it our energy and attention and time and the only life we're ever going to have that we're never going to get back, instead of giving it to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're doing the devil's bidding in our life. And that is why, look at it carefully, Jesus said, get thee behind me, not Peter, not Simon. What does he say? Get thee behind me, Satan. This moment, Peter was a mouthpiece for the devil. This is a footnote to the message, all right? The devil does a good enough job himself of whispering, criticizing, gossiping, and running down, dividing God's people. He doesn't need any other mouthpieces, so don't be a mouthpiece for Satan. But at this moment, Peter was walking in the flesh, not in the spirit. Did you know there's only one other time that Jesus said these words, and it was back in the same book, Matthew chapter number 4, at the wilderness temptation. He looked Satan in the face and said, get thee behind me. This is pretty strong language. Only two times he ever says it. Once is to the devil face to face, and the other is to a good church member. People say they want revival. I don't know that we do. I don't know that we really do. I think what people want is they want our comfortable prosperity to continue so their grandkids will be happy like they've been happy. And they feel a little tinge of patriotism and they want something good to go on to the next generation. Friends, that is not revival. Revival doesn't leave us like it finds us. Revival changes us where we need to be changed. People say they want revival. They don't. They want God to straighten everybody else out and everybody else in the church to get right with God. I'm going to tell you tonight, we all need to get thoroughly right with God. You know this little blessing you're seeing right now in this church, this wave of blessing? This could be all there is, or it could be the beginning of the next wave of what God wants to do in this church and in this world. And much of that will be contingent on whether we are content to stay where we are or we're hungry after God. And we say, dear Jesus, be thorough with me and get everything out of my life that holds back your blessing. And I wonder, are you willing to let Jesus deal with the devil in you? We clean up good for church, don't we? Carry our Bibles and sing our hymns and say our God bless yous. And those of us who've grown up around it can string together enough religious cliches to make everybody think we're spiritual and all right. But God knows our heart, and judgment must begin at the house of God. And if Simon Peter had to get right with Jesus, you better believe we need to get right with Jesus. And it starts with what we love. Show you one other little interesting thing. Look at verse number 23. It's not only true that these affections are revealed by how we speak and give the devil a place, but notice this, they hinder the purpose of Christ in us. I was meditating on this word earlier today. He says to Peter, you're an offense to me. Do you see that word offense? Circle it in your Bible. You know what it means? It literally means a stumbling block. And there's a little play on words here, I think. I really do. There's a little play on words because remember, he just changed Simon's name to Peter, and Peter means what? Little pebble, right? Little rock. And he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And now he looks at Peter in the face and says, this little rock is holding back what needs to be done. I'll tell you when we'll see the full blessing of the Lord. Not a little touch of it. I'll tell you when we'll see the blessing of God on our lives and families and churches. When we get our sin out of God's way, and when we get out of God's way and say, dear Jesus, I don't want to be the stumbling stone to people getting saved. And I don't want to be the stumbling stone to my family serving God. And I don't want to be the stumbling stone to the glory of God in this generation. Lord, get all that offense out of your way so that you can do what you want to do. We love to be in meetings where there's liberty and the Spirit of the Lord is at work. Friends, we'd see a whole lot more of that, not if the preacher preached better sermons, but if we did a better job of confessing our sin and saying, dear Lord, help us to get thoroughly right with you again. And so he begins right here with what we love. I'll show you one thing before I give you the next one. I never thought much about this till this week. Get thee, look at this, behind me. He's standing facing him. He said, get behind me, Satan. Get out of the way. And it dawned on me this week, do you understand that for a follower of Jesus, that's what this passage is about, right? Come, take up your cross, follow Jesus. For a follower of Jesus, you're not supposed to be in front of the Lord. You're supposed to be behind the Lord. You're not supposed to be standing up to him in the face. You're supposed to be walking in his footsteps. If we'd all get back in the place where we're supposed to be and let Jesus have the place he's worthy of, there's no telling what we might see God do in this world. So, you want to be more than a member? Got to let the Lord deal with what you love. Number two, Christ addresses how we live. Look at verse 24. He said to his disciples, that means learner. By the way, just because you're a learner doesn't mean you're a real follower. Just because you learn a lot of Bible doesn't mean you're a true follower. So here's the test. You ready? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Four key words. Would you underline them in your Bible? Four key words. Ready? Here they are. When I stop, you say the next word. Everybody ready? Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will, what's that word? Come. Mark that word in your Bible. Where does it start? It starts by coming after Christ. The word come literally means get in line. Did you know everybody's in somebody's line? Everybody in the world is in somebody's line. I was in an airport again the other day, and you live in lines, you know, and something got delayed, and, you know, the ripple effect, and we're all just waiting, trying to get where we're going, and people fussing and hollering. It's awful. It's just awful. And I heard a businessman, he came around the corner, and he saw a big line. He said, oh, he said it out loud, he said, oh, another line. And I said, yep, another line. Did you know life's full of lines? And every man, woman, and child either stands in Adam's line or in Jesus' line, but everybody's in somebody's line. Everybody's following somebody. People say, I'll make my own way. Well, then you're in Adam's line. But if you want to be in Jesus' line, you got to let him lead. It's like little children playing follow the leader. The great struggle is always what? Who gets to be the leader? Let me tell you how you fix that among kids. You let whoever's yard you're playing in, you let them be the leader. May I tell you, we're all playing in God's backyard. We're all drinking God's water and enjoying God's sunshine. We're all enjoying God's air and living on God's planet. Don't you think the least we can do is let the Lord set the pace and we get in line behind him? But that's not the end. That's the starting point. You come. Here's the second word. Would you mark it? You deny. We don't like that, do we? Lots of people want to come to Jesus, but they don't want to deny themselves. By the way, it is not self-denial. I hear people talk about self-denial. That's not what it says. It says deny yourself. That's two different things. Do you understand? You can live in self-denial, and even that can be selfishly motivated. You can say no to certain things, but do it for selfish reasons. But when you deny yourself, you don't just step away from things a little bit or do a little less of something. Instead, you say no to yourself so you can say yes to Jesus. And the hardest thing on earth to do is say no to you. Here's a third word. It's the word take. We want to take his blessings, but that's not what he says here. He says you have to take your cross. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was the one who famously said when Jesus calls a man, he calls him to come and die. Let's take a church vote. May I take a church vote? It has nothing to do with money. Is that all right? How many of you would like to see this church really just continue to live with the power of God and go on seeing people saved and just a whole nother level of God's favor and blessing? How many of you would vote for that? Would you raise your hand? I'm going to tell you how. Ready? You got to die. If you want a living church, listen to me now, a living church is made up of dead people. Have you died yet? Say, what are you talking about, preacher? See, look, we're on a different level tonight. This morning, simple, just a simple gospel message, all about trying to get sinners to Jesus. That's the starting point. That's not the ending point. Jesus takes these people a little different. He gets them off by themselves and says, let's have a little private meeting here because I want you to be more than a member. I want you to do more than just be a learner. I want you to love what you ought to love and live for what you ought to live for. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get your own cross. You can't take Jesus' cross. No, he took that cross. And hallelujah be to the Son of God. He's not on it now anymore either. He's alive. But you have yours. The Lord's been dealing with me about this the last few days. I think it was old Lester Roloff, the great preacher down in Texas, that said the first thing he did every morning when he got up was jump in the grave. He meant by that every day, I must die. And then we'll tell you why that is, because the old man wants to live. My pride wants to be appeased. My lust wants to be satisfied. My ambition wants to get out there and get it done. And my mind savors the things that be of men. And I want my way. And I think I know the right way. And nobody's going to tell me what to do. And Jesus said, well, you can live that way if you want to. But if you want what I have for you, son, you're going to have to get your cross and die. When was the last time you died? When was the last time you died to what you wanted? When was the last time you died to what somebody else wanted you to do? Do you know some Christians spend their whole life either fearing man or trying to please man, and both of those are a terrible bondage to live in? You got to die to people. People say nice things to me, and I appreciate their kindness and their encouragement. I'm grateful. But God has a way of letting all the air out of your balloon and reminding you, you're nothing. And this is a grand church, and you got a beautiful place, and you got a lot of people, and God is blessing. And I want to remind you tonight, you're nothing. And Christ is everything. And when the day comes that we start putting more stock in what we can do and what others are doing than what Jesus once done, we've missed the whole thing. Don't you ever forget, this is His church and you are His child. And He wants you to be more than a member. He wants you to be a true follower. And that means you got to get across. One more word. Would you mark it? It's the word follow. How do you follow one step at a time, one day at a time? This is the obedient life. So let me meddle just for a second. Can I meddle just for a second? We saw a couple of men this morning take the first step of obedience for a new believer. Was that thrilling? I love it. Like that, in churches, that never gets old to me. Like for me, that's not intermission. I don't want to leave. I love it. Because they're coming out for the Lord. And I say, thank God for them. Let's all pray for them and root for them. Do you know what's really sad? Churches are full of people who took the first step of obedience and never took the next. Is there any step of obedience you've not yet taken for the Lord? People say, oh, preacher, I've been serving Jesus for 50 years. And then you start talking to them about the Christianity, and you find out 30 years ago, they actually stopped growing in the faith. They haven't been serving the Lord for 50 years. They served the Lord for 20 years, and they're stuck at the last place. They refuse to obey God. I'm asking you individually tonight, not collectively, individually, is there any area of your life where the Holy Ghost has said, this is the next step for you, and you've not yet taken it? If you want the church to move forward together, you must move forward individually, and you must say, I'm going to follow Jesus. And the Lord says, let me help you with what you love. Let me help you with what you live for. Let's get one more. Notice how the chapter ends. He takes us all the way to the end, to the future. Look at verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come. Do you believe Jesus is coming? Let's try that one again. Do you believe Jesus is coming? Do you believe He could come before I finish preaching tonight? I've thought about this. Call me crazy if you want to. It doesn't matter to me. I preach most days of my life. And I've thought, I wonder where I'll be when the trumpet sounds. I really do. You know, David Livingston died on his knees praying. Went to be with Jesus. What a way to go. V. Raymond Edmond wrote my favorite book, They Found the Secret. He died at Wheaton College, a missionary statesman, preaching in chapel. They said he was talking about seeing Jesus and staggered for a moment and was dead before he hit the carpet. And I thought, for a preacher, what a way to go. Not for the audience, but for the preacher. Lord, I was just talking about you a moment ago. I'm going to tell you what I'd love. I'd love to be gathered somewhere with a church like this on a great Lord's Day. I tell you what I'd like. I'd like to be like John. I'd like to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And the trumpet sounds. Why aren't we living that way? Why are we living like this is going to go on forever? Why are we so rooted in this world and in time that we are missing eternity? Jesus looks these fellows in the face. Remember, this is on the front side of the church age. This is before he even goes to the cross. He's already talking about the second coming. Dear Lord, help us start living like any moment we may see Jesus Christ. He deals with what they love. He deals with what they live for. And now he deals with what they look for. So what are you looking for this week? A tough work week? Is that what you're looking for? An unstable market week? Is that what you're looking for? More bad news? Is that what you're looking for? I'm going to tell you what I'm looking for. It's found right here in verse 27. I'm looking for the Son of Man to come. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. You should mark the word glory and the word reward. One's for Him and one's for us. When Jesus comes, He'll get all the glory and we'll get the reward. And I'm looking forward to both of those. I'm going to tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for any moment we're going to see the return of Jesus. I'm looking forward to, at the end, seeing Him face to face and being like Him. This is what captured me, and this is the note I want to end this Lord's Day on. Because interestingly enough, this is the note Jesus ended this meeting with his church on. Would you look at a much misunderstood verse? It's the last verse, verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now you understand, in verse 27, he's talking about coming in the glory. That's interesting, isn't it? And then he immediately transitioned to verse 28 and says, some of you boys are going to be alive and see the Son in the kingdom before you even leave this world through the gates of death. And I think there was confusion then, because there's confusion now. People say, well, didn't Jesus say that some of those original disciples will be alive when he came the second time? No, you missed it. Look at it very carefully. He's not referring in verse number 28 to the end of time, the end of the world. That's obvious. This was 2,000 years ago. He is saying, look at it carefully, that before you die, I'm going to give you a glimpse and a glimmer of who I am, the King in his kingdom, arrayed in all of his glory and splendor. Now look at chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Do you understand that what he promised in verse 28 is fulfilled in the very next chapter? You got to read through and get the rest of the story. Do you understand, don't miss this please, that there is not just glory at the end of this for us. There is glory along the way. That there is not just heaven to look forward to someday. There is more for God's children today if we'll let the Lord be thorough with us. What was Jesus saying to them? He was saying to them, there is more for you. There is glory for you now. Even before you die, if you are willing to be my true follower. Everybody says, oh, preacher, when we go to heaven, it's just going to be so wonderful. It is going to be wonderful. But I'm not waiting to heaven. Mm-mm. No, I want to enjoy the Lord along the journey right now. And I want everything that God has for me. And I want little glimpses of his glory in my life. And I came to tell this church tonight that God doesn't just work on Sunday. He works on Monday. And he doesn't just work at the church house. He works where you work this week. And the Lord this week has things he wants to show you. He wants to take you deeper and further and higher and broaden the influence of the gospel from this church. If you will be more than just a church member. Mobs of people followed him around the Galilee and listened to him. Multitudes sat there and listened to him teach and just nodded their heads and said, isn't that nice? Oh, he's a great speaker. He's a wonderful speaker. And many of them loved to see his miracles and were excited when he showed up. But most of them never became more than a member. In fact, only a few, just a little nucleus of these men really got it. And I'm testifying right now, I'm not preaching. This week I'll turn 48, and as a 5-year-old boy, a woman led me to Jesus and saved me. And I thank God. And as a 12-year-old kid, God called me to preach. And I stood behind a pulpit around my 13th birthday and preached my first sermon and cried through the message because I was overwhelmed that God would let me serve him. Just a little boy from the hills of West Virginia, grew up on North Sand Branch Road. That sounds like a metropolis, doesn't it? And I'm standing here now all these years later, and I'm going to tell you what I want more than anything. I want to be more than a member. I want to be more than a preacher. I want to go deeper with Christ. My heart hungers, thirst. Aren't we sick? Aren't we sick to death of just having church? I mean, seriously, aren't we tired of going through the motions and seeing so little of the power of God? Why have we settled for so much less than what Jesus bought and paid for at Calvary? Why? Why are we content to say we're disciples and live with so little of the glory of God in our lives? I'll tell you why. Because we haven't died yet. Funny thing about living sacrifices, they don't die once. They got to die over and over and over again. And on this Lord's Day evening, with a sincere desire in my heart to see your church go on for God, to think that what happened today could be just a little taste of the much more God has for this church and for His glory until Jesus comes. I'm pleading with this congregation, this Lord's Day evening meeting, I'm pleading with this congregation, dear people, be more than just a member. Say, I want everything that Jesus has for me. Our Father, help us Lord, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Oh, Lord, that I may know Thee and the power of Your resurrection, the fellowship of Your suffering, being made conformable unto Your death. Holy Ghost of God, break up our hard hearts and fallow ground and carnal minds, and shake us loose, Lord, from our weak, anemic, mediocre kind of Christianity. And show us where we savor the things that be of men instead of God, and bring us to the cross tonight, and cause us to die. We sit prayerfully all around this building, and people are praying in the altar, and I'm glad, but we're going to pray everywhere tonight, all over the place. We all must pray. How many of you are still glad you're saved? Would you wave a hand toward God? Are you glad? Are you really glad to be born again? I must ask, you may lower your hands, I must ask, is there someone tonight that would say, preacher, I'm not saved and I need to be? I'm tired of wondering and worrying about my eternal destiny, but I need a relationship with Jesus and my sins forgiven. I'm not saved and I want to be. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand big and high in the air with mine? Hold it high long enough for me to see it and recognize it. I'm looking carefully. In the balcony, in every section. Pray for me, preacher. I need to be saved. I need to be converted. Anyone? Best I can tell, I'm speaking to believers, so let's get to it. Let's just get to business. What do you think? Let's start with the negative first. How many of God's children tonight, the Lord's people, would say, preacher, I'm convicted because there's some things in my life that aren't right that need to be confessed and forsaken and yielded to Jesus. There's some things that need to die. And I need to die to self and yield to Christ, and the Holy Spirit has my attention at this moment. Pray for me. I want you to raise your hand with mine right now all around, would you please? All right, I want you to tell God right now. I mean right now, right where you are. Just say to the Lord, call it by name. Call it what God calls it. Say to the Lord, Lord, it's yours. Forgive me, cleanse me. Get that out of my life. Oh, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe it? Lord God, I pray there'll be a deep work of the Holy Ghost in our hearts this week. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's go to the positive side of this. Because him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Hear me now. I'm speaking to some long-time church members. I'm speaking to some of you that have been sitting here a long time, connected to a good church a long time. I want to ask, how many believers tonight would say, preacher, I'm convicted because though I'm saved and I love Jesus and love my church and I'm trying to live the Christian life, far as I know I'm right with God, I'm sitting here tonight realizing God's got more for me. I've settled. I'm not living in the victory and power. I don't have the witness I ought to. I'm not being used of God like I should. Maybe I'm not even serving like I should. And tonight, God has showed me I need to be more than a member. I don't just need to say I belong and I believe. I want to be what God wants me to be. Preacher, that's me. Pray for me. I want you to raise your hand with mine right now around the room, would you please? Yeah, that's several of us. All right, tell the Lord right now. Just tell him right now from your heart in your own words. What do you intend to do about it? Sometimes we have this idea that you see the great results in the altar of the church. I love the altar of the church. The great results will be seen tomorrow. Will you die? Will you take your cross and follow Jesus? Will you take the next step? Some of you know a particular step. Could I just ask? You don't have to tell me. I'm not your priest. Jesus is our high priest. But could I ask, and you be honest, how many of you tonight would say, Preacher, the Lord's prompted me about something specific. There's a specific step of obedience I'm supposed to take. It may not even seem like a big thing, but God has showed you what it is, and you say, pray for me. There's a step I must take for the Lord. Would you raise your hand in the air just a moment? I see you, many of you. Amen. Tell God right now. Say yes to the Lord. No to you and yes to Jesus. That's the life. No to you, yes to Jesus. Oh, Father, what a wonderful church this is. But you must love them more than anybody. Lord Jesus, make this church everything you want it to be. Let this day be a day remembered in our hearts as a day where the Spirit of God took all of us to the next step. I'm praying tonight for a deep work of God. Lift us, Lord, out of our lethargy and apathy. Breathe upon this church the mighty power of God and move it forward for thy glory. Would you look at me, church, just a moment? I didn't say amen. Here's how we're going to end the prayer. I'm going to ask every Christian man in this room in just a moment to find another Christian man to pray with. And I'm going to ask every Christian woman to find another Christian woman. If you have little children, you can keep them with you. But I'm looking around. You've got a lot of teenagers in this church and young people and older children. They know Jesus. They can do this. And here's what I'm going to do. We've been in Matthew 16 all day. Matthew 18, Jesus said, if any two of you shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done to them of my Father, which is in heaven. I'm going to ask you to find a prayer partner tonight. You can kneel together, stand together, sit together. It makes no difference. We're going to pray all around the room. But I'm going to ask you to find a brother or sister in Christ who's not your family member to pray with. And if you want to share a request or some word about what God's speaking to you about, have at it. But for the most part, we're not going to talk to each other. We're going to pray. We're going to make the Lord's house a house of prayer. And I'm going to ask one of you to open the prayer and the other to close. Pray for each other by name. You say, why are you doing this, preacher? Because Jesus gave the church something he didn't give anybody else. Access to God in prayer. And I think if we'll get serious about it, there's no telling what all Jesus might have for us. We won't have any music, so the only sound in the room will be the sound of people praying. I'm going to ask you right now if you'll stand to your feet. And as you stand, just keep moving. Just leave your place. Find you somebody to pray with as quick as you can. Walk across the aisle. Reach across. Put your arm around somebody. Say, hey, would you pray with me? If you want to come kneel with them, you can do that. If you want to stand together or sit together. Look around before you start. Make sure nobody around you is by themselves. If you see somebody alone, ask them to join you. There can be more than one, more than two, but I'm going to ask you not to pray alone. Find your prayer partner. Pray for yourself. Pray for your church. Pray for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. The love of God is here, but Lord, may we increase in love and abound in every good grace you have for us. Make this church, like the church in Thessalonica, a model church, a testimony to the world. Continue, Lord Jesus, in this place to build your church. Could I ask us all to pray for something right now? Wherever you are, would you call your pastor's name to God right now? All of us. Would you pray for your pastor? Pray for his wife, their family. Pray for those who labor with them. Father, I know Satan would love to find a place. Give the devil no place in this place. Put a hedge of protection around the people of God here in the work of the Lord. May the hand of God rest in a mighty way upon the shepherd and the flock. Father, would you make this church all that you want it to be for your own glory? And Jesus, we'd like to pray tonight that this very week you'd give us a little glimpse of thy glory. And before we see you face to face, may we see you through eyes of faith. May we experience something of thy great fellowship and blessing upon our lives this week. Thank you for starting it as you have on this first day of the week, the Lord's Day. But Lord, may every day be yours. May every step be yours. May all of our lives be yours. And I thank you and I praise you for it. In the name above every name, we pray, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you hug that person you're praying with and tell them you love them in the Lord and you're glad to be in the church with them? It's wonderful. Now, would you look this way just for a moment? I know you're getting back to your seat and the preacher's going to come and give us a word. I see birthday cake already. I'm pretty excited. Be seated just for a moment. Would you look this way just for a second? Several of you asked today about some of our resources and books. And too much going on this morning and lots of movement, so I told the preacher if it's all right, we just do it tonight. So in the lobby, there's a resource table. Tammy and I are going to slip back there and be there. If you'd like to speak, say hello. We'd love to do that. All of the books are there. So The Need of Our Nation is there. Some of you have seen that perhaps. The first book on revival praying and the study guide. The book on the life of Joseph. If you don't have that, I'd love for you to get it and a study guide for that. And then two new resources that are brand new are available. One is a little book for children. If you have young children or young grandchildren, boys and girls you're trying to reach, this is something that my sister wrote, and we hired a professional illustrator at the Academy of Arts to draw this, and they did an amazing job. And it's all about how God made you. God made you a boy. God made you a girl. Amen? And he made you on purpose. Has the gospel for children in it, helps for mom and dad and children's workers. And then last week, about a week and a half ago, our newest book on Aquila and Priscilla. It's our favorite married couple in the Bible, called New Testament Marriage. This is for married folks or people thinking, praying about marriage. I'd love for you to get it. It's available there as well. Somebody asked me right before service how much everything was. It's not for sale. Publisher sells it. We sell it on our website. And if you want to order that way, you're welcome to. But it's not for sale. It's for donation. And so whatever you want to give and however you want to give is perfectly fine. Just trying to get the resources out. If they'll be a help to you, that'd be great. Thank you, church, for loving our family and praying for us. Keep praying for us and know that we're praying for you. Happy birthday to this church. Pastor, on behalf of your 245th birthday, I'd like to present this new Bible to you.
Amen.
For you to keep.
What a joy.
Well,
I'm going to enjoy the journey with this Bible, I tell you for sure. Amen. It looks slightly used. Well, it's been a wonderful place to be, and thank you so much. There are some folks that are watching the children down there, and after we get done, I challenge you to get your kids. They'd probably like that. But we are inviting each of you over to the Family Life Center for just a little while, but we're going to cut the cake in here. Amy, if you want to come on up here, we'll get a photo op. That way, for the next 245 years, they'll look back at some old pictures of us and say, who are those people? So we're going to cut the cake over here, and then the ushers will carry it that direction. And then after we do that, I would like to challenge you to stop by Brother Polly and Miss Tammy's table and get the resources there, but also they'll have some publication information about enduringthejourney.org that will be a great help to you. And I do believe, I just want to say this, that Brother Polly didn't come to preach to us. I really believe he came to preach for us. And I think especially this evening that he just yielded himself to the Lord for our good. Not to wow us with any ability that he might have, although he does have that, but to be here for us. And I want to thank you for that.
Amen.
Thank you so much. And so after we get cut this and we get dismissed, Amy will be back in the lobby. Ladies, that ladies meeting, I believe the deadline is coming up. It may be tomorrow, maybe in the next few days, but sign up. You can stop by with her in the lobby. Sign up for that. It's September 20th and 21st. They need to know how many are coming. It's going to be a great time. It'll help your walk, ladies. I know it would. And then if you're working the Buffalo Ridge booth at the fair, Brother Daniel will meet you in the blue room. That's the room down the hallway, the Berean classroom, and he won't keep you long. You can move right on as soon as he's done over to the Family Life Center, but we'll have a good time. So Brother Daniel, would you mind coming? We're going to sing Happy Birthday. And so Amy and I will cut this. They give us a knife, babe. Oh yeah, where are our plates? I would tip this up and show it to you, but I saw that on a video one time. It just went right off into the floor. So it says, happy 245th birthday.
You're going to cut it, right?
Go ahead.
Oh,
we get somebody the piece here on the corner with all the icing. Miss Phyllis got some good stuff. It's got some kind of filling in it, so get us one more, Aim.
Are we going to eat this?
We'll have to eat it with our fingers. I didn't remember a fork. All right, Brother Daniel, why don't you lead us in Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And I'll ask Brother Polly and Miss Polly to slip on back to the table. I challenge you to get by, get some information from them. If you do nothing else, get something so you know to pray for them. Remind yourself to do that. Amy, I'll let you slip back there if you want to get the ladies as they come. And we'll certainly thank you for all that. And we need anything else? Kyle? Daniel? And Brother Jackson will be back in the lobby. And if you'd like to sign up for one of these slots at the Amazing Grace Mission, it's just a great way to minister, see people saved. It's a powerful, powerful way to get the gospel to people. And I do know that you would not be, you would be blessed if you were able to serve that this week. So that's all we've got. Would you stand together? Thank you for being in church together tonight. If you're able to slip on over to the Family Life Center, just be there for a few minutes. We'll eat cake. We've got drinks over there. Got plenty of drinks left over from today, water. But fellowship together. We'll see you at the Family Life Center. God bless you. Thank you again for being here today.